In a spirit of gratitude and respect, we acknowledge the Saanich First Nations on whose traditional lands we are gathered. Good morning. My name is Doug McGuinness, and I am honored to serve as your worship associate today. Welcome to the welcoming warmth of our sanctuary and to our Sunday service on this blustery ninth day of December. This day is most certainly a day like no other, except that, like every day, it promises to be one of mystery and uncertainty. For some among us, those words conjure intriguing notions of the sacred and divine. Others amongst us are more mystery-averse and find uncertainty unpleasant and anxiety-producing or provoking. As we move forward together, then, over the shifting sands of these uncertain times, may we, as a people of mystery, find peace and comfort in knowing that we are all in this together. We are interconnected. Me, you, the earth we walk upon, and the air that clings to that earth are but shared parts of a greater whole. And so now I see as the children are settling, I'd like to especially welcome families with children. For the first 15 minutes of the service, children and adults are all together here in the sanctuary. There is an area in the front of the sanctuary where the children can sit together during that time. After our time with the children, children and youth are invited to go to programs in the children's wing. There are engaging choices for all ages. If your child or youth prefers to stay with you, they are welcome to. We have reserved several seats at the back of the sanctuary for adults with children, for quiet activities and easy access to the back door. If your child needs more room to wiggle, giggle, and play, we welcome you to our new Lion Lounge, a kid-friendly place or space with a play mat and snacks for the kids and coffee for the adults, where all can watch the service on TV in a more relaxed atmosphere. This morning's Lion Lounge will be hosted by Mary Bircher. Thank you, Mary. Today, parents and guardians have one additional option. You can join the Soul Matters group that meets during the service after the kids leave for their programs. The discussion will be based on our monthly theme, What Does It Mean to Be a People of Mystery? The group is open to all parents and guardians and offers a space for you to bring your whole self, spend time with other adults, reflect, and recharge. They will meet in the farmhouse common room, which is this direction. You'll see it. So when the kids go to their programs, just follow Jen Rashley. Jen, can you hold up your hand so everyone knows who you are? Okay. Jen will lead you to that event if you are so inclined to do that. And I have a short announcement regarding Gloria Hopewell. Gloria had knee replacement surgery on Tuesday. And I've learned that she came home on the Wednesday. So not a long stay in the hospital. A card that carries our best wishes for her recovery is available for you to sign at the back of the sanctuary. She welcomes phone calls and visits, but I would ask you please to call her beforehand. I'm sure she doesn't want to be overwhelmed with with her mobility issue. If you are new to the congregation, we invite you to attend the newcomer orientation that Reverend Shauna will host today after the service from 12 to 1 o'clock. A light lunch will be provided and child care is available. So you can gather in the farmhouse common room, which is in the building just across the driveway. It's a good way to learn about our congregation and to connect with others. Another short announcement, Barbara Nyland will be selling Christmas Day luncheon tickets in the Lion Hall after the service. You can get more details about that from Barbara when you go and check out the tickets. So a final announcement for you. After the service, please join us for coffee and tea, as usual, in the Lion Hall, which is that direction. And in the meantime, please relax, be at peace, and set your electronic devices onto worship mode if this serves as a reminder. Okay, now I have another longish thing to impart. Earlier this fall, our own Christine Johnston was awarded the Valued Elder Recognition Award, or VERA. This award is presented annually to acknowledge the International Day of Older Persons and is granted to those persons who, over their lifetime, have given exemplary service to helping others in the Capital Regional District. Galena Kofi Lewis had nominated Christine for this amazing recognition, and several members of this congregation have written personal affirmations to that. Christine's motto is saying yes to life and whatever life offers. She has lived by this principle and devoted her life by volunteering for numerous projects and organizations and has been a passionate advocate for social justice and human rights issues. With boundless energy and generosity of spirit, Christine embodies faithful and dedicated service to others. So now I invite you to come up and light the chalice. But your boundless energy has beat me to the punch. Oh my goodness.
Christine took a tumble, but she looks okay. She can light that chalice efficiently and get right back up. We love you, Christine. Thank you. We're so proud of you, too. Our theme this month is what does it mean to be a people of mystery? So our opening song is about mystery. It is a three-part round. We will all sing it together once, then we will break into the round. Aaron will lead the far section over there in the first part. Nancy will lead the middle section, and Nick will lead this far right section. But first we begin by all singing together. Come on up as high as you can so everybody can see you. Higher. Higher. Perfect. Perfect. Please rise as you're able.
Here we go.
Where do we come from? Who are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where do we come from? Mystery. mystery, mystery. Life is a riddle and a mystery, mystery, mystery. Life is a middle and a mystery. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where do we come from? Mystery, mystery.
Can anybody tell me what a mystery is? What does it mean? It is a good question.
Yeah.
Do you know, Vincent? Sophia?
When you don't know something.
Right, when you don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes when we don't know what's going to happen, it can be exciting. And sometimes when we don't know what's going to happen, it can be scary. And sometimes it can be both at the same time. Often it is. Today we're going to have a story about two friends who are going to do something for the first time and they don't know how it's going to feel. One of them is very excited and sees it as an adventure. The other one is not quite so sure about this whole thing. The little bear is a direct kind of bear. And he notices the big bear's body language, and he says, "You're scared." Big bear replies, "I'm not scared. Are you?" And little bear says, "No, I'm brave, and this will be fun. But you look scared." "Well, maybe a little," says Big Bear. "Don't worry," said Little Bear. "There are much scarier things than this." "Like what?" says Big Bear, asking nervously. "Like snakes." "Snakes?" "Yes, they are scary," Little Bear says, and he starts getting a little bit scared just thinking about them. "Or what about a tub of hairy spiders?" "Now that is scary," agreed Big Bear. And they both think about some other things that can be scary, like a pit of hot lava, a pan of fried ants, an alien with pink eyes and furry teeth, or a roller coaster with a snake. Now Little Bear is getting quite nervous too. But they both want to be brave, so they climb onto the roller coaster. I have an idea, Big Bear says. Let's be scared together. And he offers Little Bear a hug. And then the roller coaster begins to move. And they both yell as it speeds along the tracks. And it turns this way and that. Yeah. It even turns upside down. And both bears scream, "I'm scared!" Whew. When the roller coaster comes to a stop, they both agree that was scary. But being scared together made it feel kind of okay. So what will we do next, they wondered. What do you think they did next? Yeah, they did it again. And they were both scared and excited, and most importantly, together. So thank you, everybody. Now, if the kids will follow me, I'll lead you to the programs. If the adults can make the arches, and we'll sing our recessional song.
So if you are here for the first time today, please accept our warmest welcome and thanks for joining us. If you're a visitor, a newcomer, or possibly an old friend who is returning after a long time away, and if you'd like to introduce yourself, please accept our sincere invitation to do just that. So the best time to introduce yourself, of course, is when it feels comfortable and right for you. If now is that time, please hold your hand high up and wait for Peter to bring you the microphone. Well, that saves a little bit of time because it's a very busy service today. I'm going to move right into the offertory words then. Two registered Canadian charities will share the open plate offerings this month. The Dandelion Society supports the work of Reverend L. Tysick, and some of you may have seen him here before, a street minister in downtown Victoria. A poster on the SRC table near the front door details what he does. There's also a poster outlining the work of Bridges for Women, a gutsy, innovative community agency inspiring women impacted by violence and abuse to reclaim their lives and build economic stability. Checks may be made out to the First Unitarian Church of Victoria. If you wish to have your offering included in our Share the Plate initiative, please write "share" in the memo line of your check or on the offering envelope. All Share the Plate contributions, including undesignated cash, will be split evenly between this month's recipients and the many ministries of our congregation. I'd also like to draw your attention to the fact that December can be a cruel month at night for those people who are living on the street. It's obviously very wet, chilly, and uncommonly uncomfortable in the doorways of downtown Victoria. Most wanted and useful at this time of year are toques, gloves, socks, scarves, sleeping bags, towels, sweaters, and waterproof footwear. If you bring these kinds of items to the church, sooner rather than later, I should add, and put them beside the posters, volunteers will see that they get to where they need to be. Thank you. So after the offering baskets have passed your row, anyone who feels moved to do so is invited to come to the chalice table to light a candle of remembrance and hope. And so to honor these acts, let us be in a spirit of mindfulness. Thank you.
Let's begin our meditation with a centering song. Since this is the month of mystery, as you prepare to enter into the stillness, you may wish to think back on any experiences in your life you would consider awe-inspiring or even mystical. What was the essence of that experience? What was the feeling it stirred up? Did it carry a message of any sort? If that experience, that sunset, that sense of peace, that presence of love, that spirit, were to speak to you at this point in your life right now, what would it tell you? Let us share in a minute of quiet reflection and meditation together. Blessed be.
Before graduating as an engineer, I'm not sure if this mic is working. Yes, it is. Okay. Before graduating as an engineer, I agonized about the kind of engineer I wanted to become. As in my approach to religion, I didn't want to become a handbook engineer, one who finds worked-out solutions in well-worn handbooks. After thoughtful consideration, I chose a research path, allowing me to seek advancements and to resolve uncertainties using what-if curiosity and critical thinking skills. Something about focusing on the mysteries of uncertain scientific and technological relationships spoke to me. Classmates at the time thought me foolish to embark on such a difficult path. For them, well-paid work providing guaranteed solutions assured the best life. Dismissing their advice, I learned to play on the fields of inquiry between the opposing goalposts of cynicism and discovery. I would take information and data back and forth on each field until that body of information either cynically shut down an idea or triumphantly turned it into a discovery. But research wasn't a comfortable or easy process for me. I spent sleepless nights wondering if my pursuits would amount to anything of real value. And what got me out of bed and to work on time after such nights was the traumatizing publish or perish mantra I was gifted by my gurus. I would console myself that at the very least I might perhaps be able to write a paper describing how I had magnificently disproven my own bad idea. Perish that thought. There were many times when I wondered if a career in the imagined Lego world of handbook engineering might have been a better choice than the chosen ego world of pursuing publishing hard-won advancements, since most people could not possibly appreciate these anyway. Reflecting on that career now, I'm grateful for the perspective it's given me. I appreciate that a significant difference between my research career life and my life in general lies in the degree to which I can control all the variables. Considering my life as an ongoing experiment, I realize that my critical thinking skills remain in high demand, and that accurate, loving self-reflection and personal data collection are keys to unlocking new discoveries about myself and the world I inhabit. I am now retired, but I am keenly aware that accepting uncertainty while seeking advancement is a theme that remains alive in me. It underscores every intention for the life I plan to lead.
I never liked that song. I don't like mystery. I like to know things, especially when it has to do with the future. One of my great joys is to correctly predict a plot twist in a TV show. I knew she was pregnant. It is childish and annoying, but I can't help it. I sing out triumphantly, "Called it!" To which Shauna responds, "My wife is a professional TV watcher." I like to know what's going to happen. I like plans, which is no doubt my controlling way of coping with the fact that we can't actually know what's going to happen in real life. I have plan A, the way I want it to go, as well as multiple plan Bs, what I will do if it goes otherwise. In this way, I give myself the feeling that the future is a wee bit less unknown. When I think of mystery and knowing versus unknowing, two categories call my attention. There's the aforementioned not knowing what's going to happen next. There's also theological mystery, which covers questions like, what happens after we die? What is the essence of consciousness? What kind of, if any, larger forces exist? Fate, karma, God-type forces known by many names, spirit of life and love, creator, Mother Earth, ground of being, peace beyond our understanding, great mystery. Unitarian Universalists are supposedly good with the theological gray areas. We like to think of ourselves as more evolved than all those fundamentalists who live in black and white. The fundamentalists in various religions who insist that they know the one and singular truth about God, about death. The ones who say, accept our creed or burn in hell. We, you, yous, have no creed. We support one another's individual search for truth and meaning, as we each walk a variety of spiritual paths. That's all well and good, but over the years, we've noticed, too, that we have to be careful not to fall into our own version of fundamentalism. Unitarian Universalists historically took such pride in being the religion of reason, the religion that questions, the religion without dogma, that we can develop our own hubris about that stance. We have been known to use our questions to tear down other religious beliefs rather than using our questions to learn from the spiritual experience of others. In particular, most of us have, upon occasion, slipped into thinking that science and reason are right and true, so anything else is wrong and misguided. That's how I grew up. Three of my four parents, father, mother, stepfather, were scientists. So as an adolescent, I concluded that science could not prove God, so I wasn't going to believe in God. Life is random. When you die, that's it. No afterlife. I thought I had it all figured out. But then in graduate school, while studying religions, I had this realization. When you look at the span of human history, it's only this tiny percentage of people living now in this scientific age that believed what I thought was true. No God, no afterlife, etc. And if you look at the human population today, it's only a tiny percentage of people living now that hold that view. So it struck me, who are we to think that we have it all figured out right now? Who are we to think that we somehow know the one and only truth and that everyone else in the world in human history is wrong? Oh, the arrogance of it all. Furthermore, I realized there are more options than God as an old white man in the sky versus nihilistic atheism. There's nature-based spirituality, non-theistic Buddhism, progressive theism, spiritual humanism, the power of meditation, yoga, and so much more. Our own UU tradition has within it a healthy dose of mysticism. There's Emerson, Thoreau, and the Transcendentalists of the 1800s. I don't know how many Canadians know about this stuff. Raise your hand if you've heard of them. Oh, good. Oh, good. Some of you know. I texted some Canadian friends who've grown up here. Do you know about Emerson and Thoreau? They were like, no. So, good, good. All right, so the Transcendentalists, they introduced the idea of the Oversoul. Instead of a God that's like a person removed from and above us, the Oversoul is an impersonal force that moves through and in all of nature and humanity. I love that idea. Also, the first of our six UU sources from which we draw wisdom is, quote, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life, end quote. And as many of you will be quick to point out, science itself has been embracing the unknown for decades now. Scientists today don't actually claim to know it all. They take care to describe all we don't know and may never be able to know. Chet Ramo, professor of physics and astronomy and science writer, says this, quote, I have a friend who speaks of knowledge as an island in a sea of mystery. Let this then be the ground of my faith. All that we know now and forever, all scientific knowledge that we have of this world or ever will have, is an island in the sea. And still, the mystery surrounds us. End quote. While we Unitarian Universalists still have to be cautious about thinking we know the one and only truth, I do think we've gotten better over the decades. Most of us, even if we have a personal theology, be it humanist or spiritual, have it wrapped up in a good measure of agnosticism. Most of us agree that we can't know for sure. As theologian Paul Tillich said, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. I know from the survey our congregation did last spring something about the varieties of your theologies. For example, of the 112 respondents, 15% identified as atheist, meaning I don't believe in any sort of God or God force. 25% identified as theist, meaning I believe in some sort of God or God force, the way I define God. 23% identified as agnostic. I don't know or can't know whether there is any sort of God or God force. You will perhaps recall that you were allowed to mark as many as you felt suited you. So we also had 29% identifying as humanist, as you define it, and 50% identifying as spiritual, as you define it. There were lots of other responses. I won't take the time to read them all. You can look them up in your September newsletter. My point is, I know something of the variety of your theologies. What I wonder is, how many of us feel certain about what we believe? Whatever you believe about God or not God or the afterlife or how it all works, how sure are you that you are right? How much room do you leave for uncertainty and mystery? You have perhaps heard of militant atheists. I have a friend who jokes that he is a militant agnostic. He says, I don't know, and you don't either. For myself, I'm pretty sure that my interconnected web of life view is true. It's got scientific support as well as spiritual practices in which I find comfort and strength. But I'm also open to the possibility that there are a bunch of things that other people believe that are also true, even things I might at first think are unlikely. I'm pretty sure that there are things that are true that I can't even imagine right now. We've talked now about both uncertainty in life and uncertainty in theology. I'm curious about the interplay between the two. I read somewhere years ago in studies on church growth that theologically conservative congregations, like evangelical Christians, are more open to facing change and taking risks than are theologically progressive congregations, like us. Huh. I guess it makes sense. If you know God's got your back, you can take a risk and try something new. If you're not sure what forces are out there controlling the fates, and you guess it might very well all be random, trying something new feels more risky. You may rather cling to the comforting familiarity of the status quo, or at least take a cautious approach. Maybe that's not true of you. Maybe you are open to all kinds of possibilities in life and in theology. Maybe others of you are more like me. I am okay not knowing about the larger mystery, God, and so on. I just accept that's the way it is. We can't know for sure. But as I said at the beginning, I'm not okay with life's uncertainties. How bad is the recent resurgence of my stepfather's cancer going to be? Will he be around for many more years or not? Raising kids is full of anxiety about the unknown future. Will they make good friends and find a fulfilling life path? How will they navigate the challenges of digital culture, the pitfalls of mental illness, self-harm, addiction, not to mention climate change? It all feeds into the core parental anxiety. Will my kid be okay? I know many grandparents share those concerns for their adult children as well as their grandchildren. I say that I don't like the uncertainty, but I'm actually not sure if knowing the future would help that much. I don't think it would help to know the death date of everyone I loved or the struggles that my kids will inevitably face. Maybe at base, it's not about not knowing the future. Maybe anxiety about the future is just another way to express anxiety about the fact that life can be hard. So what do we do with that? Life can be hard. What do we do? What do you do? Perhaps you reach out to people you love to support them through hard times, to receive empathy for your own struggles. When challenges emerge in the wider social and global realm, perhaps you do what you can to work with others toward healing and justice. And what about that other mystery, the theological mystery? Is there comfort or strength to be found in connecting with something larger than you? Whether it's the web of life, a power of love that moves through human community, or some sort of God force. In what ways does your theology help you deal with the uncertainty in life? In what ways does your theology help you deal with the hard stuff of life? Some people walk in the woods and listen to the trees. Some people pray. Every now and again, I make a practice of doing a Buddhist loving kindness meditation for someone I know who is struggling. Sometimes I don't even know them personally, a sister of a friend, for example. I write out the meditation and I put it where I will see it every day. Once a day, sometimes for a week, sometimes more, I wish them wellness. As I recite all of the lines, I picture the person in my head. I picture them well and safe, at peace, and living with ease. I don't tend to believe in magical thinking. I don't think God heard my prayer and magically made their life better. But I do believe that the more of us do these sorts of things, the more of us wish wellness for others, the more that well-wishing becomes a part of us. It helps us to feel our interconnection and affects our actions. Many of us know this from the receiving end as well. I'm sure many of you do. When Shauna and I were in the hospital fearing for the life of our infant son, the fact that so many people were thinking of us, rooting for us, wishing him health and strength, well, it mattered. Being held in that kind of love had a power that I can't even really describe. Rabbi Lawrence Kushner said, "A mystic is anyone who has the gnawing suspicion that the apparent discord, brokenness, contradictions, and discontinuities that assault us every day might conceal a hidden unity." Perhaps there's something about being held in love by others that allows us to feel a sense of that hidden unity. Those of you who find comfort in an even more robust mysticism might identify with this description by Richard Rohr, quote, "Many mystics speak of the God experience as simultaneously falling into an abyss and being grounded. This sounds like a contradiction, but in fact, when you allow yourself to fall into the abyss, into hiddenness, limitlessness, unknowability, a void without boundaries, you discover it's somehow a rich, supportive, embracing spaciousness. You are being held, and so you do not need to hold yourself together." End quote. As much as I dislike uncertainty in life, I'll admit there's something to be said for opening oneself to the mystery, both in life and theologically. There's a bit of relief in that letting go, the surrender. Perhaps mystery doesn't need to be fought against. Perhaps mystery doesn't need to be figured out. I don't need to ask the scientific question, why does seeing a sunset affect my emotions that way? Who cares? Best to just let it be. Let it touch you, move you, expand your heart. Tycho Iyer said that, quote, "The opposite of knowledge isn't always ignorance. It can be wonder or mystery, possibility." And in my life, he continues, "I found it is the things I don't know that have lifted me up and pushed me forwards much more than the things I do know." End quote. When you open yourself to the wonder of the mysteries around you, what do you notice? What do you appreciate? The scent of the forest after rain? A moment of inner peace while watching the ocean? The miraculous way in which music can soothe your soul? A smile exchanged with the jingle bell lady at the London Drugs when you put a toonie in her donation bucket? We were looking at the interplay between uncertainty in life and mystery in theology. We asked, in what ways does your theology, your concept of the great mystery, help you deal with uncertainty in life? In what ways does your theology help you deal with the hard stuff in life? I encourage you to share your answers with one another. Let's engage with that gift of pluralism of faith that our UU movement offers. Let's support one another in spiritual growth and learn from, even wonder at, one another's experiences. Whether you embrace uncertainty with enthusiasm, or whether uncertainty makes you quake with fear, perhaps we will find that it is easier for all of us if we face that roller coaster of life together. Our closing hymn is a tribute to the power within each of us to roll with those ups and downs. Lift up your voice, be not afraid, sing to the power of faith, hope, joy, and love within. Number 368 in the gray hymnals. Nancy will lead the low voices. Nick will lead, no? Oh, you switched it. We switched it. Nancy will lead the high voices. Nick will lead the low voices. Let's rise as able and sing. Closing words are from Heinrich Frederick Ariel, Swiss philosopher of the 1800s. Let the mystery have its place in you. Do not be always turning up your whole soil with the plowshare of self-examination, but leave a little fallow corner in your heart, ready for any seed the winds may bring, and reserve a nook of shadow for the passing bird. Keep a place in your heart for the unexpected guests, an altar for the unknown God. So may it be.
Stand as you're willing and able to sing in our closing song.